Well, my grandmother always used to say, and probably a lot of you have heard this said, that if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. Our world would be a pretty quiet place if we lived up to that, wouldn't it? But it is very true in terms of the Christian life. God has given us many gifts in life: physical gifts, emotional gifts, intellectual gifts, spiritual gifts. He's given us the ability to communicate in many, many ways as human beings. We communicate physically, you know, maybe with our eyes. Although a lot of people say, well, I can tell by the way you look. No, I sometimes don't think that's true. That we can really tell what one's thinking by the way that they look. A lot of times, though, you can look deep in someone's eyes and you can really see what's going on and what they're trying to communicate. Other times we communicate using just our hands, hand signals. I know this is a very important thing with sporting dogs and hunting dogs. If you have a dog that you don't even have to talk to, you can literally motion and the dog understands what you're doing. Makes their puppies worth a lot of money, but it is one of the ways that they use to communicate, and sometimes we do too. We communicate with our hands, sometimes even in bad ways, don't we? Some ways of communicating we have today, one that is getting to be a lost form of communication, is writing letters, writing cards, handwriting things out. And even now we're starting to lose the art of cursive writing, and the kids are going back to printing now, no longer writing things cursively out. Using the telephone is one of the ways we communicate, although it seems less and less, but you know, we're talking to people on the phone. I would rather talk than text, because I can spend less time saying the same things as I can in a text message, you know, because I'm standing there poking my screen while I'm trying to drive. But we can communicate more effectively talking on the phone, because people can hear our voices and the emphasis we put in our voices and things like that. And it's a better form of communication, I feel. However, texting has become a very valuable form of communication, because you can now communicate with people sitting in the pews and the pastor doesn't know you're texting, right? A lot of different ways we communicate in life. But one of the most important, and I think is possibly the most important form of communication, is orally, with our mouths and how we talk, right? It's the most important form of communication, because with our mouth we can use words that really dig deeply into what we're trying to say, what we mean when we're talking. We can use our voices and the tone to communicate, you know, to our kids and to our spouses, how we're feeling at the time when you don't understand what I'm trying to say, you know. And it's a very, very important God-given gift in our life, is oral communication, how we talk. And it's especially important in the Christian life. I think probably like last week, we talked about how we act being very important in our Christian life. I think probably how we talk is just as important, because the world is listening to us as Christians. How we talk, how we use our language to glorify God, or how we should. So if there's anything we should be on the Christian, doing the Christian workout to do better, to be better at, to be stronger at, it is in how we talk as Christians, because it's a very important part of our lives and our culture today. And I'm not talking about how we talk as Christians in technical terms. I'm talking about in terms of grace and uplifting talk. God said in the Bible, be holy. He said to his people, be holy as I am holy. Now, remember we talked about what this really means. God wanted his people to be separate from the culture. He didn't want the people living like the culture around them. Just whatever goes, you know, goes. We do whatever we want to do, whatever feels good, like the culture around us. God wanted his people to be holy or separate from society in the way that they acted and in the way that they talked. You see? Because then the culture would see them and think there's something different about them. And hopefully the culture would want to come and participate, you see? Because that difference would be expressing the grace and the love of God to the culture. In technical terms, I'm talking about how, in a lot of cases, people get this understanding. Now I'm a Christian. Now I need to know all the terminology. I need to know the language of these people that I've become a part of. You know, I need to know all these great big terms like transubstantiation and propitiation, Christology, soteriology, existentialism, all these big words. I got to know what they mean to be a really good Christian. And sadly, in the bad way, they begin that workout, don't they? Going down that wrong road. I want to know what all these things mean, because if I know what these words mean, I can go out and evangelize the world. You see? And I can go out and teach others what all these big terms mean. When we do this kind of stuff, we have this kind of mentality, we're focusing on us and our abilities. I'm a Christian now. Look what I know. Look what I can do. Look, I understand all these things. You know, I'm a good Christian. Well, that's not really how it is in the Bible. It's not what Paul teaches. It's not what the Bible teaches. And maybe there's times in your life when you're sitting around and you hear people crying out, "Thank you, Jesus! Praise you, Jesus!" Or, "Yes, Lord! Yes, Lord!" You get into a prayer group. Sometimes I feel it's very embarrassing. You get in a prayer group and you're in deep prayer for somebody that might be very sick. And you're praying, "Lord, heal them. Help them to be well again and be able to come back home and be able to come back to church." And somebody in the group hollers out, "Yes, Jesus!" And it's all of a sudden, it almost scares you, you know. Or you're saying, "And Lord, thank you for healing so-and-so, and you've brought them back, or you've done this, or you've done that." Somebody in the group says, "Thank you, Jesus!" You know, now, that's appropriate in its place and time. But sadly, some people think that that's what they need to be doing as Christians. I need to be going around with my hands in the air, "Praise Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! Praise you, Jesus," you know. And they get on that workout again. "This is the things I got to do. This is what I got to know if I'm going to be a good Christian." But what I'm talking about, that the Bible teaches us about, is the way we talk in terms of grace and being uplifting. Grace and the uplifting words of truth and encouragement. These things focus on God and His plan for the way we communicate our faith in Jesus Christ. Paul writes about this in Ephesians and other places as he guides the early church. He wrote to the Ephesians, he said to them, "Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." In other words, he's saying, first of all, be honest. Be honest in the way that you talk. You know, one of the worst things that Christians can do is lie. And I know that's a hard nut to crack in our lives. But we get into that rut, don't we? The best thing we can do is be honest, no matter how much it hurts, is to be honest. And admit things for what they are. Because the culture out there certainly isn't honest today, is it? But when Christians are honest, all of a sudden people start to say, "Wow, I know I can trust them." Secondly, he says in verse 29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So being honest and being helpful. Being helpful. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." Unwholesome means harmful to the body and mind. I like the King James Version of this. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." That's a very, very powerful statement. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, except that which is good to the use of edifying." Edifying means building up, lifting up, so that it may minister grace to the hearers. Okay? According to their needs. You know, we oftentimes sit down, we like to talk about ourselves, don't we? "Here's what the Lord's been doing in my life," and all this stuff and all this stuff, and meanwhile the person's sitting there thinking, "Wow, I really feel bad the Lord isn't doing all that in my life." Where instead we should be saying, "How are you doing? How are you doing? What can I pray for you?" You see, lifting them up, edifying them, ministering grace to those around us. When the King James Version says, Paul writes in chapter 5 of the King James Version, "Neither filthiness nor foolish talk nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. Neither filthiness, nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place. These things are obscenities. And you know what those words are. You see. Anybody ever listen to George Carlin? You know he had a show all about this, the seven words that you can't say on TV. You know, it was filthy. It seems anymore that they can't make movies without obscenities in them. You know? There shouldn't be these kind of things in the speech of Christians. And I know we let a little one slip here or there. And God knows our hearts. He knows how hard we're working not to. But this shouldn't be our language, you see. It shouldn't be our language. And remember that the Lord is good to forgive when we ask for forgiveness. Secondly, there should not be any foolish talking. Foolish talking is sitting around talking nonsense. You ever hear people, places I go and I sit and I hear them, or I hear somebody on the cell phone and I think, oh my gosh, that is just complete nonsense. They're sitting around talking about something that has absolutely no meaning or no bearing on anything. And they're just spending a lot of time talking about nonsense. What does that do? That causes drama, doesn't it? Boy, do we have a lot of drama in our culture today. Because people are just sitting around talking about garbage, nothing. When they could be sitting around talking about the Lord, sharing the Lord with others, talking about what the Lord's doing in their lives. And thirdly, there should not be any filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. Nor jesting. Coarse joking. This is turning things around. Turning things around. In other words, making what's wrong seem right, making something that is our fault not our fault, and making things sound the way we want them to sound, even though that might not be true. Turning things around, you see. There shouldn't be that kind of things, those kind of things in the Christian's mouth. Paul wrote to the Colossians in 3:8 when he said to them, "Now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." Filthy language. That's language that is unwholesome, language that is unclean, language that is defiled, so to speak, because it's out of sync of what God wants us to be talking. So we know that's tough, right? We live in a culture where it just freely flows, doesn't it? And we all have fallen short of God's glory, especially when it comes to this morning. We know it's tough. We know it's a workout. We know that as we work to clean our mouths up, it's just like riding an exercise bike. We're sweating it out. We know how hard it is. James 3 tells us, "No man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil and full of deadly poison." There has probably been more damage caused by Christians with poisonous tongues than any other part of our flesh. You know, the discouragement, the criticism, the cursing, the belittling others, the slander, the gossip. These are what sour people on Christianity more than anything else. But a good word on the lips of a Christian is sweeter than all of our knowledge of all these words and all of our works, because it's the grace of God for a world going sour. When we give a good word to the world, when we start to see things in a positive, godly way, you know, the world's pointing to all the bad things, the wrong. As Christians, we should be saying, "Yeah, but think about this. Here's the good in all this." You see, our communication as Christians to the world involves our mouths and our talk, and how we use the gift of world communication to the world around us is an honest and helpful testimony to the world. It lifts the world up, and it takes place in public and private, in church, in prayer, in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces. We are to be people of clean lips. Remember Isaiah. He came before the Lord. He saw the Lord's throne. And he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." What was his problem? He had a foul mouth. Oh no, not Isaiah. Yeah. Isaiah had a foul mouth. And that was his sin that he felt that he shouldn't even be in the presence of the Lord because he was a sinner. And you know what the Lord did? One of the cherubs, the seraphs, took a coal, hot coal from the altar and came over and touched his lips and cleansed him. Like a cleansing fire. Cleansed his lips. And what did he do? He went out and he told all his people about the Lord and told them to repent and turn back to the Lord. We're studying it now on Tuesday evenings. Awesome story. Awesome story of what God does for his people. And you know what God does? Throughout the book of Isaiah, we're finding out chapter after chapter, verse after verse, God comes in and he is talking to his people through Isaiah. And he is pronouncing judgments against all the surrounding countries of his people. And he is denouncing the acts of his people in Judah and in the northern kingdom. What they did was wrong, he tells them. And it was sinful. And because of that, he told them, you're going to go into captivity. I'm going to allow you to be carried off and your land become desolate. But God didn't let him there. You know what he does? Every time, chapter after chapter, verse after verse, God gives them hope. Always, always saying, but I will save you. I'm going to provide for you in this way. And in fact, in one place he says, there's a time of peace coming, a kingdom coming, and there will be one coming to be your king. As we study this, we find out that the greatest hope of all is given, that Jesus is coming. That God's going to send a Messiah and a Savior to save his people. Hope. Hope and grace. Not condemnation. Not judgment. So oftentimes when we see people in these situations, the world's watching to see how we speak about it. And we speak judgment. And we speak condemnation. They got what they got because they deserve what they got. They wouldn't be in that shape if they would have done this or would have done that. And all we can say is negative things rather than going to that person, putting our arm around them and saying, let's sit down and talk a little bit. How are you doing? What can I do to help you? What can we as a church do to help you? And saying to them the most powerful words one human being can say to another, I love you as a human being and I want to help you. Rather than condemning, you see, as Christians. It's tough, isn't it? It's tough to do that. But that's who we are, people of grace, God's grace. It's sort of like speaking in tongues. You know, today's Pentecost Sunday when we remember Pentecost. The book of Acts we remember in the second chapter. And we know the believers were all together. They were there in Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost. They were all together in one place, and suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire coming and separating and resting on them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. Why was that? Because they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from all over the place that could not speak the same language. So they were bewildered because they heard each one of these people on whom the Holy Spirit rested speaking in these different languages, and they understood them. And what were they speaking? They were declaring the wonders of God in all these tongues. They said, what does this mean? Some said, well, they're drunk. They've had too much wine. Peter stands up and he says, no, they haven't. What this means is that these people are filled with the Holy Spirit of God and they're able to do the things that God ordains for them to do, and one of them is to share the glories and the wonders of God in a way that you can understand. You see, when we do that with our mouth and our languages, it's almost like we're speaking in tongues and people say, oh, they're weird. They're weird people. What do they want? Why are they treating me so nice? They must want something. No. We are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You see, we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And what happened when all the people were together? There was about 3,000 that was added on the one day that they were all together when they heard Peter speak. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. The believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their possessions and goods and gave to anyone that had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, doing what? Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Why? Because with their mouths they were expressing the glories and the wonders of Almighty God. And when we do that, people are going to treat us like we're drunk. They're going to say, oh, they're weird. They're weird Christians. But something happens when grace flows from our mouth. It's called edification. The word edification means to lift up. Edify, to lift up. And Paul writes to the Corinthians about all the spiritual gifts. And he says, you know the reason God gives them to us? To edify others. Not for our glory. To edify others. And that's why these great gifts, these great abilities that God gives us with our mouths to speak, the purpose is not to curse others, not to belittle others, not to convict others, not to judge others, but to speak grace, to lift them up. Speaking honestly, helpfully, and cleanly. Real quickly, I just want to finish with just one line from Paul in Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Now, if you don't remember anything else about this morning, I want you to remember one thing. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. Full of grace, seasoned with salt. Why seasoned with salt? Not so that it bites or stings. Salt is a preservative. That our conversation should be full of grace and help to preserve others. A lot of people say, well, I'm a Christian. I speak the truth. I tell it like it is, whether they like it or not. You see the attitude in that? That's not grace. There is a way to be gracious, to be truthful and honest in this world, but do it graciously in love, compassion toward other people. And when we do that, the Holy Spirit literally flows out of our mouths. And to the world, it looks like we're speaking a different language. And in all reality, we are, because our language is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.